my voice what it should be. Shall we turn again, please, to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1, we call 10 words. And these are sublime words. In the beginning. I like that. In the beginning. And beloved, if you start with that, you have most of the problem solved. In the beginning, God. And may I suggest to you, the younger ones, always put God in the beginning. Proverbs 3 we read, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Now you say, already I'm off the subject. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. What's the difference between a way and a path? In New York City, we speak of subways. You see where the train is going and you decide to get on. That's a way. Airways, seaways, definite fixed ways that you can be sure of where you're going. But a path. It may rain and there is no path. The Lord says when you're sure and you think you know where you're going, that's when you call on me. So that when you get to the points where you don't know where you're going, I'll be with you. That's just an aside. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you remember last Wednesday, we looked at one verse there, and every time I read this, I think of it. You needn't turn to it, but I like Psalm 115 and verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Okay? But the earth has he given to man. We don't belong up there. And I have certain thoughts about some of these fellows going up there to establish space stations. Have you any idea what those stations are for? There's enough room on earth for the population. Well, why are they going up there? Revelation chapter 12. We won't touch that now. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, you remember we saw on Wednesday, where it says the earth was without form and void. God didn't create it that way. God is perfect in all of his works, so that he did not create the earth without form and void. And the better reading, and the Hebrew scholars tell me this, the earth became without form and void. It was perfectly corrected and it became. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Now that's what we want to look in today. The earth became. When God created this earth, you remember he said everything was perfect. But then something happened. And that which was perfect became imperfect. Genesis chapter 3. Everything was perfect. Chapter 2. Chapter 3. And the earth became dark. And this is where humanity fell into darkness. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. We read this Wednesday night, don't alter the word of God. Don't add to it, and don't subtract from it. And you get that in Deuteronomy, in Proverbs, and in the book of the Revelation. Don't alter the word of God. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. What a contradiction. God says something, and the serpent says, no, no. He has to say God doesn't know what he's talking about. And they're doing that today, you know. Even with this book. There are certain people that say, well now, for example, and I've mentioned it before, you've heard, the Seminar of Five. Anybody here familiar? I'm sure you're familiar with Seminar of Five. What they are doing is going back to the Gospels, and they are saying what the Lord Jesus Christ really said. Now, Matthew was there. John was there. But they didn't know what he was saying. So, years later, now the Seminar of Five are going to tell you what he said. Beware of it. Verse 5, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And they talk about the New Age. New Age is old age. Everybody's God. Little of God in everybody. Little of God in trees out there, and the leaves, and the light up there. You shall be as gods. That's not New Age. That's old lies. Satan's lies. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, feeding the desire to make one wise. I wish I had time to go into that. Do you know these are the same three things that Satan presented to the Lord on the Mount of Temptation? The same three things. And this is all the world can give you. Most people don't get all three. They only get one. Some get two. And some of those fellows in California think they have three. But as we have been hearing the Sunday school lesson, you can have all of that and end up with zero. The eyes of them both were opened, verse 7. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Remember what we read in 1 John? God is light. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I wonder why. They were in darkness. And the darkness and the light don't agree. And because they were in darkness, as you get in Genesis first, verse 2 there, the earth and so forth became dark. Adam and Eve were now in darkness. Now, what's the first thing that happened on the first day? Coming back to chapter 1. Verse 3, they were in darkness, everything was dark. God said, let there be light. And here are Adam and Eve in darkness. What is necessary? Light. And that's what we want to talk about today. Chapter 3, where is this light to be found? Verse 15. Look at verse 14. Something else occurs to me. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, So serpents crawl. But that means that at one time the serpent was upright, doesn't it? On your belly he's going to go. Therefore, he must have been upright at some time. Look it up in the encyclopedias. Take all the large serpents. And they have four appendages. Even though they're crawling, four appendages. And it is my belief that those appendages represent what the Lord said upon your belly. And they are not useless appendages. They can cut with those appendages. That too is in passing. Don't you find these things interesting? And it's all in the Bible. A little less time with TV and more time with the book, and you'll be thrilled. But we go on. Verse 15, the light. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Now, the King James says it. Some of the newer translations said, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this one that is to overcome the serpent is a male. He's he. I wonder who that person is. It says here the seed of the woman is going to crush Satan's head. Who is this seed of the woman? And for that, before we look at that, let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. The seed of the woman. Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived, bare Cain, and said, what did she say? I've gotten a man from the Lord. And there are some translations which read, I've gotten the man from the Lord. She thought that this was the one who was to crush the serpent's head. Verse 25 of the same chapter. Adam knew his wife. She bare a son. She called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed. The seed of the woman. But this wasn't the seed either. Who then is the seed of the woman? How can we recognize him? The seed of the woman. Genesis chapter 22. Who is the woman's seed? Chapter 22, verse 17. Now we know the story well concerning the offering up of Isaac and the substitute in his place. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, the angel of the Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Trace that through the Bible, and oftentimes he's called not an angel, the angel of the Lord. That is why when the angel of the Lord spoke to Samson, Samson's mother, she said, I've seen God, or rather the Father did. The angel of the Lord is oftentimes the Lord Jesus Christ in human manifestation. The angel of the Lord, verse 15, chapter 22, called Abraham out of heaven the second time. And by the way, I might say this. Wherever you read the angel of the Lord, there is nearby evidence to show that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord. The angel of the Lord is saying this. By myself I have sworn. Because you have done this and not withheld your son, thine only son, in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Is that the seed? Was that the seed of the woman that was promised? Notice this says, thy seed shall be as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the sea shore. And it shall possess the gates of its enemies. That's Israel. That's not the seed. But notice the beauty of the word of the Lord, verse 18. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the seed. The first seed had to do with Israel, and it's yet going to be fulfilled. They're going to multiply. They're going to have dominion on this earth. But that doesn't concern us. That's second verse 18. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is the seed. Now how do I know that this is the seed that the Lord is talking about? Book of Galatians. Chapter 3 and verse 16. We often read John 3 and 16, Galatians 3 and 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Verse 17 that we just read. And to seeds he saith not, and to seeds as of many. The 17th verse spoke of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, I know that may be a little puzzling. Study it when you go home. Don't worry so much about Christmas. And you'll find that the seed was the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman's seed that would defeat Satan was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, in Genesis we read that everything was dark. And what was the first act of the Lord Jesus, of God himself? Let there be light. Is the Lord Jesus Christ light? Is he light? Well, let's look a few places and see if he is light. John chapter 1. What Adam and Eve needed was light. They were in darkness after disobeying God. John chapter 1. And God promised that the seed of the woman would bring light. John chapter 1 verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. You remember what we read in Genesis, the seed in verse 17 would be great and so forth and possess its enemy. But the seed in verse 18 would bless all people. That's this seed. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men, not just Israel, all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was not the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, chapter 12, please. Rather, chapter 8. And what we're looking into now is the light that lights all men. The light that lighted up the darkness that Adam and Eve brought in when they disobeyed God. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. This is the light that was spoken of in Genesis chapter 3. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Chapter 9, please. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, is he in the world? As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Well, is he in the world? He's not here. He's not in the world. He's in heaven. All right, we go on to chapter 12, please. Verses 35 and 36. Jesus saith unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not God. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and hid himself from them. But the Lord said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But he isn't in the world. So where's light coming from? Book of Matthew, please. Chapter 5. Verse 14. Now, I hope I'm getting the point across. As Adam and Eve found themselves, they were in darkness. The need was light. And the Lord said that that light would come through the woman's seed. We have seen that that seed is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says while he was on earth, he was the light of the world. But he's not on earth. So what about the light? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Now that brings a challenge. When he was here, he was the light of the world. The world lies in darkness, and we are the light. Are we shining? That's the whole lesson. We are now the light of the world. Look with me, please, in Philippians. Chapter 2. We are to shine. And the darkness that we see around, and there's plenty of it, and we've all been listening to it in a very special way in the last week. You love, that's darkness. Those folks don't even know what they're doing. That's dark. And we are the light. Are we shining? Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without rebuke. Now, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Are we in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation? I think we all agree. This nation, the world for that matter, is in a bad situation. Now look what it says. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights. Are we shining? If they're going to get any light, if there's going to be any relief for the powers that be, it's got to come through the light. And we are the light. Are we shining? Ephesians 5. Verse 8. You, speaking of us, were sometimes darkness, but now, is it true? We are light in the Lord. Walk in the light. Because the only hope for this world, the only hope for unsaved relatives and friends is the light. And we have the light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are the children of light. And if there is to be any shining in the world today, it's got to come from us. I remember years ago, this must have been back in the 60s, my first trip to Bermuda, and Mr. Ferbert was showing me around, and one of the big and great things at that time on the island of Bermuda was the Gibb Hill Lighthouse. And we walked up these steps and up and up and up, and we got way up there. He must have seen that I was a little shaky because we went outside. We didn't stay inside. He said, don't look down, look up. There was I in the Gibson House Lighthouse. Gibbs Hill Lighthouse. And then the man that took us around began to explain. He said, now, this light must always be turning and always rotating. It's for the ships out there. 10 and 12 miles away. And I said to him, well, suppose the power gives out. He said, we pour in a little oil, and then I have to keep that light going around. I have to walk and walk so that the light not only shines, but it goes around. We are the light of the world. And the world needs us, and the Lord is depending upon us to shine to the world. Shine in our homes. There's that old saying, that light shines brightest, that shines at home. Something to that effect. Beloved, are we shining in our homes? Do our relatives and friends know that we are children of the Lord? Do they see any difference? And I'm not asking you, I'm asking myself. When they come into our homes, do they see the light shining? The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Now, where do we get our light? 1 Corinthians, well, the 2 Corinthians, chapter 3. The source of our light. Well-known verse. Even before, do you remember back there in Exodus? When Moses went up into the mountain 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Lord, and when he came down, his face shone brightly. They had to ask him to cover his face. Beloved, if we're going to shine in this world, we've got to spend time in the presence of the Lord. How much time do we spend in the presence of the Lord? Not a little verse in the morning before you go out, and by the time you're 10 minutes away, you've forgotten the verse. No, no. I mean time. That's the only way we're going to shine. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 3. We, verse 18. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same, from glory to glory. Where are you going to behold the face of the Lord? Where do we go to behold the face of the Lord? Remember in Luke chapter 24? Let's turn to it. Where are you going to see the Lord? Where are we going to behold his face so that we can reflect his glory? Chapter 24. Verse 27. Beginning at Moses. The Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You want to see the Lord? All the scriptures. And as we look into the scriptures, we become more like him, and we are in a position to reflect his beauty and the light to those around. Verse 44. He said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. I remember some time ago, when we first came here, I used to go to the prison every week. And one day we decided that the lesson was to be the Bible. And I took the lesson and the subject, the way you would handle, you know how you used to do your book reports? The title, what's the title mean, the writer, and who is the chief character? And my question was, who is the chief character in the Bible? And all said man. Man is not chief character in the Bible. The Bible is about him. And if we are going to see his face and reflect his beauty, we've got to spend time in his word. One of the scriptures, Gospel of John. Chapter 5, verse 39. Time with the word of the Lord, and then we will be able to reflect his beauty. And that's all. That's the subject, you know. I'm just about finished. Chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. Search them. My father always used to tell us, nowhere does God tell us to read the Bible. Study. Search. Research. That's what we're to do with the Bible. It will not do below to just take a verse and look at it and read it and quickly run off. That's not searching. How do you think our brother with the Sunday school lesson was able to bring us the truths that he did. You think he just read them? Uh-uh, he searched. And if we're going to know the Word of God and see the beauty of the Lord and reflect His beauty, we've got to search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. In them ye think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. The Scriptures are about the Lord. And if we're going to reflect His glory and His beauty as a light to those around, we've got to study the Word. There's a hymn. Oh, I think it's in our hymn book. Number 242. Let's see. Who was our pianist? Jennifer, I think we're going to need you. I think it's 242. And with... The light of the world is Jesus. Is that true? That's all I want to know. Is there anyone in here who objects to that statement? That the light of the world is Jesus. Well then, let's sing this hymn. Not applying it to some, the person next to you, applying it to ourselves. And just before we do that, let's close in a word of prayer. The world lies in darkness, and the only light that the world will get is from us as we shine to the world around. And as I mentioned, I am not particularly pointing to the president and those folks. They need a whole lot of light. But I'm pointing, first of all, to our relatives. I've not got some. Got one fellow, he's coming down and he says, for Christmas. Over 40 years I've been with him at it. He's very courteous, very respectful. He sends me a card every year on my birthday. Very nice. But that's it. Oh, we've talked a lot. He's one of those folks, you go to talk to him and he's going to tell you about Plato. My. And Aristotle. And some of those other fellows back there who knew nothing. And I'm trying to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we want the light first. In our homes, among our relatives, and let it shine out. You want to see this nation get better? Would you like to see that, pardon the word, that mess in the White House? Would you like to see it get better? We are the lights. Let us shine. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we gave you now in thy presence with much thanksgiving that we, humble creatures of the earth, can enter the presence of the Creator of heaven and earth. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the privilege of meeting together to remember the Lord in the way that he said we should remember him. We thank thee for the Sunday school lesson and for that which we've been looking at recently. The world lies in darkness. Our Lord is the light of the world, but he is not here. It's our responsibility. May we live up to our responsibility. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I pray. Well, just before we sing this hymn, this is the Christmas season, and I have a lot of trouble with Christmas. I'm supposed to speak Wednesday night, frankly. I'm almost afraid to speak. Because I don't like to disturb and upset my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But there's some things about so-called Christmas that I think are utterly wrong. So please pray for me Wednesday night. I need a lot of prayer for what I think the Lord would have me to say. I'm not going to offend anybody. I just want to pass on some truths. Meanwhile, 242, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin.